Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to your maid, Lydia Fong, and watch over her, and let her rest in the mighty arm of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the fever is gone and inflammation is gone, so that the surgeon can do the operation. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy, and stop people who drive, and I pray that you help them to drive safely back and forth. Those people who come to you now, and open our eyes that we can see wonderful thing that's written not only in the law, but also in the gospel, and help us to walk in the light so that we be blessed, not only now, but also in the life to come. Hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul said that grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what I said last week? There are three stages. From they to you and then to we. Who are we? We, first of all, is the Holy Apostle in chapter 3, Ephesians, and prophet. They are the one who write the Bible. They are the one who know God's will. And they are the one who make known the will of God to us, to you. Okay? Who are they? They is the one in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 3. They live in sin, apart from Jesus Christ. Doesn't know the word of God, no hope, no God, no promise, foreigner to the covenant. And that is what we were before we come to know Christ. So just like the song that we sing, we want to go to higher ground. They are the people who go to hell. Because why? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the evil spirit live in them. And they are controlled by the evil spirit. Brother and sister, we are all like that, according to what Paul say. I read that to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin, in which you used to live. We used to live in sin. Why? Because we are controlled by the evil spirit. And when you follow the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who are the ruler of the kingdom of the air? That is the evil spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. They are the one who disobey God. They are the one who did not acknowledge God. They are the one who doesn't know God. They are the one who don't even read the Bible. They don't even hear the gospel. And they don't even believe in it. This is the outcome for them, because they will go to hell. Verse 3, all of us, Paul said that, all of us, including Paul himself, also live among them, circled over them, because they are controlled by the evil spirit. They, all of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desire and thought. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Object of wrath, you write that down, is object of God's wrath. They are the one object of God's wrath. We are the one object of God's mercy, according to Romans chapter 9. If you are the object of God's wrath, prepare for destruction. If you are the object of God's mercy, prepare in advance for glory. So it's up to you. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, the foolish one inclined to the left want to go to hell. But the wise one inclined to the right want to follow the higher ground. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, we make a decision. And Paul followed the very footstep of Moses. Lay down the blessing on the right side, lay down the cursing on the left side. You incline to the right to get the blessing, you are the wise man. You incline to the left to get cursing, you are a foolish man. So I hope that today, after you hear the gospel, you make a decision. Especially I talk to Johnny. So when are you going to be baptized? You say that you believe. Last time you say that you believe when you were young, even when you are in your mother's womb, right? Don't lie to me for that. When are you going to be baptized? This Sunday? Or you want to be inclined to the left? Or you inclined to the right? You inclined to go to hell? Inclined to the fool? To the right? Eh? Like the wise. So, do you know what it means, the wise? I read that to you, okay? I want you to listen to that. Don't just say, I incline to the right to be the wise, okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. There are two kind of person. One is the wise, one is the foolish one. And you tell me, the wise is the one who obey, do it right away. The foolish one, they procrastinate and they don't do it. Write that down. Right beside Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 2, you write down Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 all the way to 27. Two kind of people. Therefore, everyone who hear this word of mine, put them into practice. It's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because he's the wise, because it has built its foundation on the rock. When you hear the word of God, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized right away, and you are the wise. When the storm comes, when the calamity comes, when the disaster comes, no harm before the righteous, because you are wise. Verse 26, but everyone who hears this word of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand, that is sinking sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, that it fell with a great crash. So are you the wise man or are you the foolish one? Are you going to do it right now or are you going to procrastinate? Now, do it right now. Huh? That means you understand God's word. Oh, man, you're a wise man. Oh, man, give me five. You make my day. Do we understand? Do you really understand? Hannah, like you're a lucky girl. You know? Yeah. You know what? We don't hear the gospel. We do our own thing. When we hear God's word saves people's life. We all say we are wise, but the definition of wise, according to Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, you do it right away, that's wise. You procrastinate. Oh, you wait, you're foolish. Oh, now you are wise, man. No wonder you study English literature. Oh, man, that's good. Wow. So, Keith, you're going to get prepared. After the dinner, lunch, we go and baptize. Yes or no? Okay, that's it. I don't want to be the foolish man. I want to be the wise man. I want to put into practice right away when the storm comes, just like Proverbs chapter 10, just like Proverbs chapter 12, verse 21, harm before the righteous. No calamity before the wise man, because he built his house on a solid foundation. I have Jesus Christ to protect us all the days of our life, and that's the way to go. Okay? Now keep going. And Paul said that grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to circle the word grace. What kind of grace he talking about? I talk about, write that down, two kind of grace. The glorious grace, number one. Second kind is the richest of God's grace. Two kind of grace that come from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to all of us. Number one, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What kind of spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm? Number one, verse 4. What kind of spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realm? Number one is in verse 4. God chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world, chose us to be holy, chose us to be blameless in his sight. Why would he chose us before the creation of the world? Before even we were born, before even he created the world, he chose us already. He know that we will come at certain time in the time space. And he chose us to be holy and blameless. Why? Because God is holy and blameless. When he chose you, you got to be like him. Just like the Proverbs say, like Father, like Son. Our Heavenly Father is holy and blameless, so he wants all his children to be holy and blameless. That is the number one spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Because without holiness, without blameless, you cannot stand in the presence of our holy God. So we need to be holy and blameless. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. And then the Bible says, in love, because of his love, he predestined us. Right beside number 5, you write number 2. The second spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realm is God not only chose us to be holy and blameless, God predestined us to be adopted as his son. Predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. Through Jesus Christ, right beside through Jesus Christ. How did God predestine us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ? Right beside through Jesus Christ, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Through Jesus Christ, yet to all, no exception, to all who receive Jesus Christ, you don't reject Jesus. Whatever Jesus say to you, you say yes. Jesus Christ give you the right to be the Son of God. Yet to all who receive Jesus Christ, and to those who believe in what? Believe in his name. Believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right beside his name, believe in his name. That's the commands of God. You write down 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. What is God's command to all mankind? Number one is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Number two, according to his command, he wants us to love one another. Okay? This is God's command to all of us. Number one, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. You write down Gospel of John 1:12. When you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ gives you the right to be the Son of God. You don't believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, you go to hell. Say, Pastor John, how come you say things like that? You write that down. Right beside His name, Jesus Christ, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father. No one can enter the kingdom of God except through Jesus Christ. That's why Apostle Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, through Him, through Jesus Christ, no other way. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one come to the Father except through me, through Jesus Christ. Write that through Jesus Christ. You write down Ephesians 1, 5. Go back to Ephesians. God predestined us to be adopted as His Son through Jesus Christ. Right beside through Jesus Christ, you write down Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name means there's only one name, the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. No other name, right beside no other name. You write that down. Gospel of John 1:12. Gospel of John 14:6, 1 John 3:23. His command to all of us, He make it loud and clear. No other way to go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Because if you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ gives you the right to be the Son of God. Go back to 1:12. Very, very important. I want all of you to remember these Bible verses. 1:12, 14:6, Act 4:12, and 1 John 3:23. Go to 1:12. Yet to all including the Jews and the Gentiles, yet to all who receive Him, do not reject Jesus Christ. And to those who believe in His name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. When you believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God gave you the right to become God's children. I want you to write that down. Believe in His name, then you become God's children, children of God, right beside children of God. You write down 1 John 4:4. If you are the children of God, if you are from God, if you belong to God, if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you overcome the evil spirit. That's the reason why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, when we were disobedient at one point in time, we were controlled by the evil spirit. But the moment we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart, Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit come into us. What is in us is greater than what is in the world, the evil spirit. So the evil spirit are kicked out of our body, and the Holy Spirit come into our body. The moment we receive Jesus, the moment we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, we become the children of God. When you are the children of God, you are the overcomer. You overcome 4:4, you overcome the evil spirit. 5:5, 1 John 5:5, you overcome the world. If you do not have Jesus Christ, if you do not believe in him, if you do not baptize into his name, you are excluded from him. You are not part of him. You understand? You need to be included in the group. Okay? I want you to write that down. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. What is the mystery of Christ? What's the mystery of God's will? That the Gentile, through the gospel, when you hear the gospel, you believe in it, even though you are Gentile, you become heir together with Israel. You become member together of one body. You become sharer together in his promise in Christ Jesus. Brother and sister, if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you do not believe in him, you are out. You are still on the left side. You're not on the right side. Johnny is very, very smart. Right? You know what? I tell you why. I want you to remember that. It is because the Holy Spirit moves you. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Without the Holy Spirit moving you, if you still remain dead, that means the evil spirit control you. You won't say, I want to be baptized today. So Hannah, if he won't want to be baptized, so you're ready for marriage counseling, right? Okay? Otherwise, you're excluded, man. No charge for marriage counseling. All right? Okay. No, you don't buy one, get one free now. After the marriage, you don't buy one, get one free, you know? Oh, come on. You think McDonald's breakfast, they buy one, get one free. Oh, man. So where are we? Brother and sister, we are overcomers because we have Jesus Christ living in us. And we used to be controlled by the evil spirit. Now we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Before, when we were controlled by the evil spirit, we denied Jesus. We don't understand the gospel. But now we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we understand the gospel. We believe in the gospel. We receive him. And we accept him. We believe in his name. And he gave us the right to be the children of God. Isn't it good news? The spiritual blessing, number one, he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight. Spiritual blessing number two, in verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted to be his son through Jesus Christ. You know what I mean by adopted? We are Gentile. We have no God. We have no hope. We have no promise. We don't understand the Bible. We got nothing to do with God. But he loved us so much, he adopted us. It's all by grace. Just like the people in Canada, in U.S., adopted some people from the dirt world and bring him in here. So they can start a new life. That's the same way. Through love of the couple. It's not because we have done anything. It's all because of the love of that couple. In the same way, because of the love of God to us. Right? Spiritual blessing. Number three. Spiritual blessing number three. I read verse 5 again. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure, in accordance with his will. And then the Bible says, to the praise of his glorious grace, circle the word. Remember that? I said that in verse chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of grace I'm talking about? It's the glorious grace to be adopted as God's son through Jesus Christ. That's a glorious grace. If a rich family, if an honorable family adopt you, then you become rich and honorable. Am I right? That's an honorable grace to be called children of God. It's an honorable grace. It's a glorious grace to be chosen by God before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Go back. Verse 6. To the place of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loved. As long as we are in Jesus Christ, and God freely giving us this kind of glorious grace, it's free of charge, no charge. After the glorious grace, now I talk about the riches of God's grace, the second kind of grace, in verse 7. You write down in verse 7, the spiritual blessing, number 3. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. And through His blood, we have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Circle the word, the riches of God's grace. These are the grace that God freely given to all those people who acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God and who acknowledge that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. In verse 7, what does it mean by in Him we have redemption through His blood? Paul did not mention it, and I strongly believe Peter read his book, Ephesians, and he made the commentary for that. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1:18-19, you write that down, through His blood, okay? 1:7, Ephesians 1:7, the third blessing. I read that to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefather. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Write that down. Adopted to be the Son of God is a glorious grace. Redeem. The word redeem means purchase. Purchase means, according to 1 Peter 18:19, chapter 1, if you are rich, you go to the marketplace. In those days, they have auction. You give a higher price, you can buy it. Just like in Alberta, the auction for ox, auction for sheep. And you see that. You name the price. You say 100 bucks. Another guy say 101. Then you lose it. But Jesus Christ gives the highest price. He said, I'm using my blood to purchase that guy. And he belongs to me. Is that the riches of God's grace? Is it? You don't have to say 101, 102, 201, 300, 5,000. No, Jesus Christ gives the highest price. My blood, my life, for your life. Is that a good deal? So that's why the foolish man inclined to the left, the wise man inclined to the right. Because I understand he purchased me with the high price, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, without blemish, without defect. Perfect price. Is it good? You know, I didn't see David, huh? You know? It's really sad. He's still under bondage, man. Okay? A lot of people, they don't understand. Gene, you need to pray for your brother. You need to witness to your father too. You understand? You know who is controlling him? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, could you read that to me? Who is controlling him? He's under what? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. So who is controlling him? The evil spirit can only control the disobedient child. The evil spirit cannot control the obedient child. You know that? The Holy Spirit controls the obedient child. Okay? Brother and sister, you have to know, when you read the Bible, you have to know the condition of your family member so that you know how to pray for them. Because they are under the control. Because they disobey God, they are under the control of the evil spirit. They are the ruler of the kingdom of this world. Right beside the ruler of the kingdom of this world, you write down 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this world blinded his eye and moved him to disobey God's word. And he became a foolish man. He inclined to the left, not inclined to the right. The God of this age, that's the ruler of this age, is the God of this age, small letter G, is Satan, has blinded the mind of unbeliever, blinded the mind of disobedient child. Because they unbelieve, they disobey God. Don't wait until discipline come, then we preach the gospel. By that time, we're going to weep. We're going to cry. I know it will come. You know what? If David was chosen by God before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight, if God predestined him to be adopted as the Son of God through Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ purchased him with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without defect, without blemish, and he denied all this, God can allow him to suffer pain, and then we're going to turn around. You know, how do you say, Pastor John, how do you know? You write that down. That is how God deal with the people of Israel. In Canaan, in Jerusalem, supposed to be the promised land for them. And there's more Jewish people in New York, in Connecticut, in New Jersey, in Philadelphia, than in Jerusalem. They are scattered throughout the whole world. Just like what the Bible says, Psalm 106, verse 26. And God say, because they disobey me, even though they enter into the kingdom of God, and even though they enter into the land of Canaan, I'm going to scatter them among the nation. And they're going to perish over there. So that's why in the 7-year tribulation, they're going to suffer so much pain, and all the Jewish people go back to Jerusalem. Do you know what? It's only a little over 30,000. Only 30,000 after 70 years of tribulation, After 70 years of captivity into the Babylon, only 30,000. I'm sorry, 300,000? Let me check that. Go back to Ezra. I'm sorry, it's only 42,360. Chapter 3, verse 64. You know what? God said that after 70 years of captivity, all the Jewish people supposed to come back. They don't come back. They still become prodigal son. They disobey God. You know why God allowed the whole world has to go through 7 years of tribulation? Because of Jewish people. Jewish people is God's witness. If God disciplines Jewish people, God will discipline us in the same way. God swore to the Jewish people with uplifted hand. That means he won't change his mind. He will do it. That he would make them that. I read that again. Verse 26. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall into the desert. That, who are they? 700,000 people. Okay? 700,000 people, they die in the desert. They cannot enter the promised land. In verse 27, those people who enter the promised land, God will make their descendants fall among the nation and scatter them throughout the land. That's why in New York, in Canada, in China, in Beijing, we see Jewish people. They are not supposed to be in the foreign land. They're supposed to go back. Unfortunately, only 42,360 people come back. They disobey God. And God say, you are in captivity for how long? For 70 years. They don't come back. They don't come back. You say, hey, look at me. Say, well, if Jewish people don't come back, that means what God promised in Genesis chapter 15, you know what God promised to Abraham? He say, all your descendants will come back, okay, to the promised land and stay there. And now they are not staying there. Majority of them scattered throughout the whole world. And God knows ahead of time. In Psalm 106, verse 26 to 27, God knows ahead of time. And God will scatter them because they disobey God. You know what? When they suffer pain, they come back. Right beside verse 27, you write down Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, before the Jewish people was afflicted, they went astray. They go their own way. Okay? Right beside 67, before the Jewish people was afflicted, Jewish people went astray. Now, if Christian went astray, the same way the Jewish people went astray, God can inflict pain upon him. But now, I obey your word. Don't follow the footsteps of the disobedient Jews. Follow the footsteps of Paul. Paul used to be disobedient Jews too. But God caused him to suffer pain in Acts chapter 9. He became blinded. Remember that? He thought he would be blinded for the rest of his life. And lo and behold, God through Adonai lay hand on him, opened his eye. When God opened his eye, he realized it. He was blinded by the aid, by the God of this age. I don't want to be blinded by the God of this age. I want to read the Bible and understand it. I don't need to suffer pain before I obey God. Does it make sense? According to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8, Jewish people are God's witness. According to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we Christians are Jesus' witness too. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, chapter 1, verse 8, you will have power to witness for Jesus Christ, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. And Jewish people is a witness for God. And how God disciplined him? God will discipline the Gentile too. Thanks God to purchase us, to redeem us with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the highest price. No one can offer this kind of price. He said, Pastor John, how do you know? Of course I know, because I read the scripture. Turn to Psalm. Turn to Psalm 49. Verse 5. Why should I fear when evil day come? When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. No one can redeem, circle the word, redeem the life of another, or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. Only one kind of payment. You write that down. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through Jesus' blood. You write down Ephesians 1, 7, right beside Psalm 49. Because no monetary value, whether silver or gold, you cannot purchase your life so that you have eternal life. No one can do that. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Because he say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. I want you to write that down. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 to 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's the highest price. A life for a life. A righteous life for the unrighteous life. A holy life for the wicked people. That's the highest price. No one can offer any other price. That's the highest. We are dead dog, and yet we understand this kind of sermon is all by God's grace. It is a spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus that he given to Apostolic Bible Church. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. Without shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Right beside the forgiveness of sins, right beside the forgiveness of sins, write down Hebrew chapter 9. Hebrew chapter 9, verse 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That blood is not the blood of lamb. That's not the blood of goat. It's not the blood of ox. It's the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. When the psalmist was filled with the Holy Spirit, he knew that only the Lord can redeem us. Turn to Psalm. Turn to Psalm 130, verse 8. Could you write that down? Right beside verse 8, Psalm 130, verse 8, he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. He himself. That means he didn't use silver or gold. He didn't use precious metal. He's using his life, his blood. And we have this word of God. And we still don't come to the church and listen to the sermon. You think God will not be angry with that? He pays us a hefty price. And people ignore him. Just like the Jewish people ignore him. Only 42,360 people come back. You think God will not let the 7-year tribulation to bring the people back? You know what? When God say things, it will be fulfilled. Anyone who stop it will suffer pain and affliction. I don't care whether you're a pastor, you're elder, you're a deacon, you oppose God, God can oppose you. Write that down, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. There's no insight, no wisdom, no strength, no power that can succeed against the Lord. When the Lord say, this promised land, I'm going to give the Jewish people. If the Jewish people don't come back, I will make them come back. How do we make them come back? Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You don't come back, you went astray, I make you come back. I inflict pain and disaster upon you, then you come back. Because when he predestined you to be adopted to be his son, and he's going to make it happen. But unless you disobey him, and your name is not written in the book of life, then he won't do anything. He let you do whatever you like to do. When he disciplined you, that means you are chosen. He didn't want you to go to hell. The path of life lead upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. Our Heavenly Father, I pray every time when your servant opens his mouth, help him to explain your word clearly without shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no redemption. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 130, the Bible says, he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, will redeem Israel from all their sin. How did he redeem them? He redeemed them with the precious blood of his own son, of his own life, the highest price. Lord, I pray that you help us. You know, when we become rich, we disobey you. We go our own thing until the Lord inflict pain and suffering to us. When we are in sick bed, we think it through, we realize we sin against God. Lord, we don't need to suffer pain, affliction, before we turn around. Through the scripture, help us to incline to the right, to be wise. Just like 22:3, the prudent man see danger and seek refuge. Whereas the foolish man, the simple one, keep going. They don't see it. Keep going and suffer pain. Lord, we don't want to suffer pain. You want your servant to explain your word clearly. Psalm 22, Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man see danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it, because he didn't see that. You open the eyes of Paul. He see that, he forewarned us. And now we see it. We want to be like him, to get the same kind of blessing that you give it to Paul. And help us to remember that. Thank you for your redemption with the blood. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sin. there's indeed the spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Whoever receives this kind of blessing is the first one who gives thanks and praise to you. Whoever receives the blessing later will also give thanks and praise to you too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.